Hi, you're listening to In Between Visits, and my name is Dr. Christy Lewis. I'm a naturopathic doctor who is in practice for well over a decade. After years of clinical practice and working with thousands of people, a basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it is difficult to implement, hence the birth of this podcast. If we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? With these short and sweet shares, I'm going to answer your questions about how to stay on track with your goals, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in the challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Dr. Christy. Thanks so much for tuning in again. Today we are continuing the conversation. We, Dr. Rochelle and I, are going to be diving deep into the conversation around movement. So as many of you know, Dr. Rochelle is an Olympian athlete, actually a silver medal rower from the 2012 Olympic Games. And she is so relatable. I mean, I was a little uncertain about what a discussion about movement would look like with such a high performance elite athlete. But once we got into it, I quickly realized just how relatable Dr. Rochelle is when it comes to really all things lifestyle medicine, but especially this topic. In this episode, we discuss all the unhealthy messages that so many of us have received about fitness and our bodies, that sort of, you know, push it and the high drive and, you know, prescriptive movement as opposed to really listening to our bodies and what our bodies need. The realities of a sedentary lifestyle, you know, the ideas of, you know, how movement is so key. It's just that we want to make sure that we are going inward to what our body actually needs and not overtraining or doing exercise fitness that is not in alignment with the season of our life that we are in. Rochelle also gets super honest in this conversation. I'm really, you know, keep listening, guys, because it was so vulnerable, her really sharing about elite sport, how it impacted her both physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, obviously, Rochelle, as is the rest of Canada, holds huge pride for her accomplishments. But, you know, her return to finding peace in her body after a career as a competitive, competitive athlete required some internal and external shifts that she shares with us. So whether you're getting off the couch or recently completed an Ironman, there is definitely something in this episode for you. So let's get started. Well, hello, Dr. Rochelle. So great to connect with you again for another week of In Between Visits. How's your week been?
It's been great. The weather's been fantastic. Lots of time outside with the kiddo. Life is good.
Amazing. Well, you know what? That's actually an awesome intro. I was sort of reflecting on how will we start this? And, you know, having a child definitely, especially in the summer months, keeps us moving. Hey?
Oh, for sure. And outside, which is ideal. So I'm getting lots and lots of that, watching the sun and wearing the sunscreen. But yeah, chasing after a 4-year-old certainly keeps you moving.
Says the silver medal Olympian.
I know. Life is much different, isn't it?
So today is actually all about movement and and really kind of how that fits. You know, we think about movement and it comes up all like working out and exercise. And like, I think so often when people are not feeling their best selves, they lean into two things, right? It's like, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. And I, for one, am definitely not going to say those things aren't important. And clearly we believe in movement because, it's such an pillar of health. But I really wanted to kind of have a conversation around the idea that we may be able to start to lean into knowing what our body needs. And I really feel like we've been given a bit of a disservice all these years when we think about movement as more of a prescription and exercise and working out. And it's all about this desired outcome, which is so often tied to body image. So, you know, what are your thoughts? What are you seeing in practice when people, you know, their relationship with how they move their bodies or exercise and like how a bit gray and cloudy with what might be best for their health at any given moment?
Yeah, it's so funny. I often see perimenopausal or postmenopausal women or men going through andropause. They've seen this personal trainer that is 23 years old and just wants like lean muscle mass. That's the main goal, just looking ripped, getting the six pack. And they put them through this rigorous program that, first of all, is not sustainable many of the time, or second of all, they're injured by the second training session. So, I mean, there's a place for that, there's a time for that. But there's also a time where it doesn't quite fit. And in terms of movement, especially as we age, I think just being sedentary is our worst. It's basically our worst enemy. And the more we're sitting and not moving, our muscles are shortening and contracting and they're becoming weak. And that's when injuries happen. So I think the biggest thing is don't sit all day. I guess that's the first goal. Like, I know if you have a sedentary job, get up and do some jumping jacks every hour or something. Just make sure you're not sitting for a solid 10 hours because that's probably the worst you can do. And I think that's a pretty attainable goal. Don't sit for 10 hours.
Well, and you know what? Like, it's such a great point of really the mirror, the both sides of the same coin, you know, the recognition that we don't need to push our bodies into pure exhaustion, especially during different seasons of our life where, you know, that just doesn't make sense. You know, the postpartum woman who, you know, starts running 3 months after to try to lose the baby weight, right? That is like definitely not a time where you want to do that. But we always move into this, well, if I can't do it with an intensity or if I can't do it with this program, then I'm not going to do it at all. And a little can go such a long way, and it's sometimes actually more impactful and more important way to achieve that ultimate health. So I love that recognition of taking those moments through the day, as opposed to thinking that we have to dedicate, you know, 45 minutes or an hour every single day, and it has to look and feel a certain way.
Absolutely. And I have a bit of a vendetta against running. Like, running is great and it's super effective, but very few people can handle it. Like, knees go injuries and like Achilles strains. Like, it's just so common. And you have to be like a pretty light person to go for long runs regularly. There's very few body types that can handle it long term. So, I mean, there's so many other ways to get your heart rate up. And one of the biggest things that I would recommend is maintaining lean muscle mass, because really, after the age of 30, I believe we lose like up to 5% per decade, and even more so after the age of 50. So, once we lose lean muscle mass, I mean, that predisposes us to falls, breaking a hip, losing our independence. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things to focus on within reason. But muscle is also very metabolically active and it helps with managing blood sugar levels. And it's I don't know. I think that's something that I would like not lift heavy things, but maybe some body weight exercises to start just a
I
few times a
agree.
week. Yeah.
I totally agree. And I mean, yes, definitely when you start to think about movement for longevity and quality of life versus movement for what I'll look like in my bathing suit. I mean, I think that's a huge
Yeah.
intentional when we start to shift our why. Really, that's our jam. Hey, Dr. Shell, it's like
Totally,
we
totally.
want people to start to really understand the why. You know,
Yeah.
why am I eating this way? Why am I going to bed at a certain time? Why am I, you know, and it's like when we do that same thinking and that intentional goal setting, it's such a different game changer, both with how we move our bodies and the enjoyment we get it from it and the sustainability. So the essence of that is so important. And knowing where we are at different seasons of our lives. I mean, you talked about the menopausal woman, and you know, actually going on the you know, treadmill or running on the treadmill or using the elliptical trainer 45 minutes to an hour, it's not only potentially hot, like not going to work for you, it's actually going to create further problems when we think about, you know, your body doesn't know that you're doing this for, you know, your waistline. Your body thinks it's running from a bear, and that's a time when we want to keep cortisol in a really cortisol, that stress hormone, you know, from those spikes. So the very things that we're doing may actually be, you know, not only not benefiting us, but worsening certain underlying conditions.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I always like I always think about eating for our biology. So, like, what our ancestors did. None of our ancestors went there and ran on a treadmill for an hour. And like they were just moving all day. They're just constantly in motion. And I know that's not realistic in our lifestyle, but just keep that in mind. I like the idea of being inefficient. So parking in the furthest parking spot away from the grocery store, or getting off the public transportation a few blocks early, or just being slightly more inefficient just to get a little bit more movement in your day. There's sneaky ways you can get it in.
100%, right? Like, being having a feeling of, oh, good, when you walk downstairs and realize you forgot the very thing you went to get. It's like, oh, another set of stairs. Yeah, it's interesting how, again, we look at this so much as compartmentalizing. And definitely, as you mentioned, time and place. I mean, time and place. There's been seasons of my life where I've been really committed to certain aspects of my fitness and my exercise. And, we're not making that wrong, right? We're not, I mean, clearly we're
Absolutely.
not. I mean, I can't even imagine the type of training that you did, the vigorous training that you did to get to your high performance Olympic achievements. It's just, I think what we undermine as some of our more potential recreational is the rest. Like, tell me a little bit about the role that rest played in your high intensity training.
Well, first of all, there wasn't much of it. So, what I did was not good for me, but it attained a goal. We trained 18 times a week. We had very little rest. Basically, we're just navigating that very fine line between heart, like injuries and compromised immune system. So what we do to navigate the overtraining is we take our heart rate every morning. So we take our resting heart rate. And if it was 5 beats above normal over 3 days, then that was a sign of possible going teetering into the overtraining syndrome. So we'd use our heart rates to navigate it, but also we had to be so careful about nutrition, post-nutrition recovery, hydration, because when you think of it, this is a very layman way to put it, but when you're dehydrated, think of your ligaments snapping like a twig. I know it doesn't quite work that way, but there's a lot of water in your tendons, so you just have to keep hydrated. But yeah, exactly what we did was actually horrible. I have chronic back injuries, herniated discs. I had multiple rib stress fractures. Yes, you can break your rib rowing. Like
My goodness.
it's not good for you, but I'm glad I did it. I attained a goal and now I'm just kind of mitigating some of the damage it did, but
Well, that
I
is,
won't change it.
yeah, I mean, thanks for that. Like, that's thanks for that honesty and that vulnerability and that recognition. You see the glory and then recognizing the cost in that. And as you said, would never change a thing. I mean, you set out for a goal, you achieve the goal, and you also had all kinds of support around you, right? You were literally working with the best coaches and the best nutritionists to monitor that. I mean, someone who's going out and pushing their body and then not having that monitoring, I mean, that's when you're putting your body into a place where it's actually a disservice. So,
For
I
sure.
really think at, the end of the day, it's about being able to find a type of movement that is going to work for your body, recognizing that that changes over your lifetime. So I was a provincial and a varsity squash player, and it was amazing. I loved it, but same thing. Like, as I'm almost at my, half century here, I realize that's too hard on my joints. So my husband and I are taking up tennis, right? So it's like
Amazing.
double tennis, right? And so it's about like really trying to evolve, right? At the end of the day, one of the biggest gifts we can give ourselves is to evolve. And part of that evolution looks like changing our behaviors and not expecting ourselves to do the things that, we used to do. When we were younger, or when we had different or supports around ourselves, like you did through your Olympic training. So what was that transition like? Like, how do you, I'm like, this is a personal question, guys, but I'm sure you're all like dying to know. What does it look like now for you? Like, given, how did you go from that like super high intensity, like even your body, like the withdrawal from coming down that level of physical activity? What was that like for you? And where did you land in that now, I guess, almost a decade later?
And learning how to eat like for a regular person, right? So
Right.
there's something called detraining. So basically you don't it, it's actually it's quite bad for your heart to stop cold turkey. So we had our trainer write up a program to detrain over a number of weeks and then months and then become a regular person. So now, honestly, it's about 9 years later. Between work and my kiddo, I just try to move out through the day and I'm chasing her after her. She's pretty active. And when she goes back to school, I'm so excited to start at least like a really brisk walk for 45 minutes a day and start stretching. And to be honest, I hate stretching, but now I know my body needs it. Like I feel like my muscles are all tight and short. And I just now that I'm older, I recognize that the importance of it. So
Yeah, that again, that shift and that mobility, that recognition between, and I think that's a really important aspect as well when we're trying to kind of figure out. I mean, looking at the take home from this, you know, as you're listening, it's like, okay, well, then what do I do? And I think ultimately, movement. So we are high-fiving, we are pinky promising that, you know, we all believe that movement and we try to bring the movement in. And but potentially redefining what you believe is to be productive movement, right? Like, oh, it doesn't count unless it's a run. And realizing that it really is about that balance of, you know, endurance, strength, and flexibility. And the season that your life you're in might require a little bit more emphasis on other aspects like the strength training. I mean, I totally hear that. For decades as a marathon runner, I would declare I hated lift waiting weight like lifting weights. I hate it. Now I love it. Like the feeling you have when that empowerment, you know, that you feel when you lift a heavy weight, when you get that next step in the weight, it's just it's a different type of feeling, but it's one that can be equally as satisfying. And so, you know, allowing yourself to realize that, you know, there are different ways to move is really key.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, like you don't have to be in a gym lifting weights. There's so
Exactly.
many body weights you can do. Squats are the most metabolically active exercises you could do. Like the big quad muscles, the hamstring, it uses so much the core. Squats are amazing. So I would prioritize that amongst like above everything, but not many people can do a perfect squat. So I mean, you also have there's a caveat there and where and when you recommend it. But also like stuff like planks, like they're amazing for your core and they work your arms like and prevent lower back injuries. Brisk walks, keeping your heart rate up, going for elevation, stairs if your knees can handle it. There you can build in a full workout in a small amount of time. So
Yeah, and realizing that movement sometimes is actually breath. Like,
yeah.
you know, if you're waking up and maybe, you know, if anyone who's listened, and if you haven't, definitely, you know, circle back and listen to the podcast Dr. Rochelle and I did on sleep. You know, those nights where despite all your efforts, you know, your hygiene and taking care to have a good night's sleep, you just can't access it. Maybe best intention was to wake up and do maybe a yoga flow class, but what your body needs in that moment is actually to lie in Shavasana and breathe. And there's movement in that. There is movement, and I think defining that movement doesn't always have to look like, you know, again, a fitness program or a running regime. It certainly can, but we want to build in these other aspects of accessibility for people.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be that long. Like if you're just starting on a walking regime, all you have to do is start 10 minutes one way, 10 minutes back. Make a small goal and you can build from there. Like add maybe 15, 20% longer every week. It doesn't have to be like I have to do an hour every single day.
And that's usually why where we don't succeed, right? Because it's unrealistic or it's overwhelming, and the just getting your shoes on is often the win. That's often the hardest part, is just getting started. And I think when you're really in that place of, you know, when the monkey mind goes in, right? The monkey mind tells you all the reasons I'm tired. It's like, realize that is, take that with you. I think I shared at one podcast, you know, for a walk, take the anxiety for the walk, only have 5 minutes for the walk, and don't realize that you're going to feel great and then you're going to move.
It's through the movement that you can, and you know, you might come back and all that anxiety is lifted, and maybe not. And that is okay. It's just in the process of building in that routine. And the deal with muscle memory and with body and even behavior modification is the more you do it, the less you think about doing it. You just go and do it.
And even like gardening and housework, that counts. That's movement.
Totally.
And one of my favorite things is listening to podcasts and doing these things or going for a walk and listening. I enjoy it so much, and I'm learning and I'm entertained the whole time. So that might not be for everyone, but it definitely keeps me moving, and it makes it like the time hasn't passed at all.
Absolutely. I think, you know, finding joy in it, right? So when it is a workout for the sake of working out, then there's no pleasure in that. There's no return on investment beyond maybe, again, a short term feeling of satisfaction that, you know, you did the run and you're, you know, feeling like you're one step closer to that weight goal. And again, I say this all the time in practice. I'm here. We are here. Dr. and Rochelle are here. We're here to support your goals, not set them. Right.
Yeah.
We just want to provide an avenue for you to think about this and to realize if you're not moving at all, get moving, right?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
If you're moving with an intensity that isn't sustainable or enjoyable, maybe start to reevaluate the intentions in that, and, you know, start to tune into the body when, you know, your body is so tired or so achy, or, you know, you're no longer enjoying the activity, and recognize that there might be another way to move your body.
Yeah. And, you know, I also wanted to finish this podcast with saying that you can be healthy at many different sizes. So I do blood work all the time, and I will see people that would be classified as overweight, but they're completely healthy. Their blood work's amazing. They actually have quite a bit of muscle on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get really, really you'd call desired thin people. And mm-hmm. there's inflammation. They have micronutrient deficiencies. They actually don't have their osteoporotic risks, or they're not getting their menses, their period. I just want to recognize body size, and you can be healthy at many, many different sizes.
Thank you. I mean, honestly, I feel like if we can change even 3% of the people that we work with and potentially the community that we can connect with, then we have done our work in this lifetime, because I'm like brought to tears right now with that wrong message. That's a lie. The lie that in order to be, I can tell you, I was very thin at one point in my life. I'm naturally metabolically thin. And the thinner I am, the more anxious I am, the more unwell I am. And when people want to celebrate that, it breaks my heart, because I know inside that I'm not feeling well, that I am not doing okay. And yet the mirror is, wow, this is wonderful. And so we need to shift that messaging that thin is healthy and fat is unhealthy, because it is wrong.
Yeah, Dr. Christie, I did the same thing. I was getting ready for a muscle magazine after the Olympics. I went down to 10% body fat. I looked great, but my hair was falling out. My thyroid was out of control, and I lost my period for the first time. But the pictures like would be commercially nice looking, but it was not healthy. So totally couldn't agree with you more.
Body acceptance, move your body, you know, start to lean into your why and your intuition and the knowing. You know what your body needs right now. You do. We don't even. We're just like here trying to coach you and like high five you and cheerlead and see you. You know. And so please just start listening to that in you know, the messaging of, you know, it's to move the body gently and slowly, or slow down that movement and start to lean into something that maybe is more in alignment with what you need right now.
Hear, hear.
Okay. So we are going to say goodbye for today, and we can't wait to connect with you for the next episode of In Between Visits. And guys, Dr. Rochelle is accepting patients right now. You can pop on to drchristielewis.ca. Her schedule is starting to get really busy, but by all means, you're going to find her there and you can book with her. And we are running another group. More of this, tons of this, eh? Like, this is the jam with the whole food formula. It's all about us redefining, recreating, flopping some of those messages that you're getting about body image and food and movement right on their head, and providing the space for something new that is more in alignment with what health looks like. So yeah, so you can find that information there. That's going to book up too. So by all means, please, we'd love to see you.
Awesome. So exciting.
Yay. Yay. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Christy.
We'll talk soon. Okay. You bet. Thanks so much. Till the next time.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of In Between Visits. I'm just so excited that you're tuning in and, you know, really connecting with these incredible experts that I have on the show these days. You know, everyone who has sharing their wisdom around lifestyle medicine and supporting you on your health journey. Guess what? I have a new partner. Cardish Health Food Center is sponsoring In Between Visits. Cardish is a locally owned and operated health food store in Ottawa. They've got 7 locations and their staff is just super dedicated and committed to helping you find the right products that you're looking for. Whether it's supplements or groceries or beauty products, they've got it. And if you're looking for more information about, you know, what Cardish store is in your neighborhood, you can visit www.cardish.com. Keep listening because Cardish is going to be offering up some pretty awesome giveaways and information. We're going to be partnering up for some webinars, and really our intent is to, you know, continue to help you on your journey towards ultimate happiness and health. Thanks so much, guys.